The Eagles the last couple of days, very active with the NFL draft. For more on the draft, let's turn to Ross Tucker. He's an Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Download the free BetQL app. Do it right now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertips. A deep dive of the NFL draft with Ross Tucker. Good morning, Ross.
Morning. What's up?
Quite a bit, my man. I mean, imagine this. The Eagles get an A from many national draft analysts. It's 2 days later, and they're like a small topic in a sea of tons of stuff going on in Philly sports. All right, so, Ross, let's start here. Generally speaking, I think it's fair to say the Eagles got the best grade of any team in pro football. Do you think that's accurate? Like, do you think Howie deserves an A and deserves the top spot of all 32 GMs?
Well, so I believe that the Eagles' process, without question, deserves an A. I mean, as you guys know, we don't really know how good these players are going to be. It's incredible to me. I thought it was one of the biggest surprises of the first round that at 22, no corners had gone yet.
Yeah.
I thought the Eagles might trade up for a corner. I thought they might have to trade up to like 16 to get the second corner. They got their pick of them.
Was he your
22?
Top guy, Ross?
I love them both, John, and ultimately – the more people I talk to, the more I like Mitchell. If you like everything about both of them, and the one guy is verifiably bigger and faster, it's hard not to go with that guy. I mean, he's bigger than Terrion Arnold, and he's way faster. Terrion Arnold ran a 4.5-something.
Yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell ran a 4.33. The thing is, if Quinyon Mitchell had a different uniform on last year, and it wasn't Toledo, if his uniform was Georgia or Alabama or Michigan – I think he's like a top 10 pick. I think it makes that much of a difference. My big thing, though, is we don't know what will happen with these players. But to start a draft with 8 picks and to end the draft with 9 players and 3 middle round picks next year in what should be a deeper draft. And here's the thing, Joe. It's not like, okay, they got 4 extra picks. It's not that they got 4 extra picks by always trading down. They traded back up to make sure they got Cooper DeJean. They traded back up to make sure they got Jeremiah Trotter Jr. That's the part that's so impressive to me. A lot of people can trade down and get extra picks.
Right.
But to trade down and get extra picks, but then still be able to trade up and get the guys you want, just really, really impressive.
So, Ross, tell me which of these is a more accurate statement. Cooper DeJean is a first-round talent. Or Cooper DeJean is a second-round talent?
Cooper DeJean is a first-round talent. There are two reasons why he didn't go in the first round. Number one, he broke his leg in practice the week I was actually doing Iowa-Nebraska for CBS. So he's a great kid. I talked to him on the field before the game. And then the other thing is there's a little bit of, you know, this is a glass-half-full, glass-half-empty thing. The glass-half-full is that he's very versatile, right? And I think he could definitely play safety, we believe, could play in the nickel, can play outside corner. The glass half empty is, do we really know what he is? Because you guys know I always have Greg Cosell come on my show, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and he had said, and this is weeks ago, right, before the draft, he thought there was a little bit of stiffness to DeJean, a little bit of hesitation at times out of his back pedal. He was not convinced. He's not the only person I heard say this. He was not convinced that Cooper DeJean is an outside corner in the NFL, that he's fluid enough to be an outside corner. My guess is that the Eagles will start him there and hope that that's what he is. But I've heard people compare him to Eric Weddle, who was a tremendous player in the NFL at safety for like 15 years. But I think it's tough, Joe, to take a guy in the first round if you're not sure what position he's going to play. I mean, how do you do that, right?
Well, clearly a bunch of teams didn't, and he ended up being the 40th pick.
And how do you gauge this guy's like level of football knowledge to where you can adequately bring him along properly? You know, like if you try to make him your free safety slash strong safety slash nickel, you run the risk of overloading this kid to where he can't function.
Well, that was the theory on Scott Kingery. Now, I think it's different because Scott Kingery stunk with the bat, and I'll never buy that moving him from second to center to third to left to this like should have caused such a bad issue. I don't buy it.
That was a part of it. There was an absolute part of it. There's
you know
no
what?
Question
Hitter,
in my
grab
mind
grab a bat
is.
And bat.
No, it doesn't work that way when you have more stuff in your head. I talked about this on MLB Network yesterday about the kid Jackson Holliday. The kid's a shortstop. They made him a second baseman. It's the other side of the bag. They expect him to be the best hitter in the planet because he's the number one prospect. It's a difficult thing to do when you're playing in the infield, in the middle infield. You want comfort. Talk to Charlie Manuel about being relaxed, no tension, playing tension-free. Now you're playing 17 different positions, and you screw with the guy's head, and that's why he was screwed.
Well, Ross, let me ask you this. So, Ruben, that's strong. Let me ask you this, Ross. How much of picking a spot for Cooper DeGene do you think will be related to who they don't want to start? Meaning you've got Bradbury, you've got Maddox, and you've got Blankenship, all of whom have started 2 years in a row. Like, who shouldn't start?
Well, I would say this. I would be surprised if DeGene starts. That would surprise me. I think DeGene, they're going to put him a corner, see what he can do. I'd be really impressed if he's better than Slay or Quinyon Mitchell. That would surprise me. To me, those are like the top two guys. It would even be impressive to me if right off the bat he's ahead of like where Keely Ringo is. I think to start, this is just my guess, it'll be Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Blankenship at safety. It'll be Slay and Quinyon Mitchell outside corner and probably Maddox inside corner. I think Maddox is the nickel until and unless he gets hurt. I mean, if he's healthy, he's shown he can play pretty well there. To answer John's question, they're not going to move DeGene around. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to start with him just being an outside corner and just see whether or not they think he can do that at a high level. And they're going to hope that he can. If he can't, then they take the next step, seeing if he can play inside or thinking if he can play safety.
Does Will Shipley look like a 4-3-9 guy to you?
Man, I did a Clemson game his true freshman year. He's good. I'm a little bit surprised how the last couple years went for him. He was a five-star recruit. He was the number two running back in the country. And his freshman year at Clemson, he was awesome and dynamic. He was even pretty good his sophomore year. I felt like he dropped off a little bit this year. You know what happened there? Their offensive line has been bad, and their quarterbacks have been bad. And I think that affected him, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're used to Clemson having an awesome quarterback and awesome O-line and these huge holes. It just wasn't there for him. And unfortunately, I think that negatively affected his production. But I think he's a really good fourth-round pick as a guy that can be a change of pace. They like him out of the backfield, can probably help on special teams. That's one thing, guys.
You're a bigger fan than I am, Ross.
Well, they now have like five guys that are kick returners.
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty cool.
I don't know how they're going to pick which guy or two to put back there, but they've given themselves like five options.
So Ross, Jalix Hunt, you know, Mel Kiper loves him. I mean, Mel Kiper referred to Jalix Hunt saying, the Eagles also got my favorite outside linebacker in this class in Jalix Hunt. And they got him with the 94th pick. Is it too early though for a third rounder? If you can't play effectively for a year or two, or can he play effective year one?
So that's a really good question, Joe. And to me, I don't love taking a developmental guy in the third round. You know,
his third and fourth years better be really good, because if he's not going to play much in year one and two, I mean, what value am I getting from the guy?
No, I think he'll play in year two. I mean, I think he'll play in year two. I need to do some more digging on him because I'm still trying to figure out how a guy is at Cornell as a safety, and then he ends up at Houston Christian as a D. I mean, obviously, the DN part of it, he just got bigger. But how do you go from Cornell to Houston Christian? You know, the thought process there is that a guy with his physical ability is never going to be in the third round unless they go to Houston Christian and they're a developmental guy. So I think rather than trying to take a guy in the first round or second round next year, because remember, Sweat's done after this year, more than likely. You know, BG's done after this year. They need another guy to be able to play next year. Rather than feeling like they have to take a guy round one or round two next year, they're hoping that they see enough development from Hunt this year that he's that guy next year. I don't feel like we'd have to go through it. Joe, you probably know more off the top of your head than me, but it doesn't feel like the third round, you know, raw mold piece of clay, Davion Taylor type has worked out great for them.
Well, I'll put it this way, Ross. I don't remember many of them. Davion Taylor is one. I mean, maybe Chris Gokong maybe was considered one.
Curtis Marsh, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, DB. it's rare. It's just rare in the NFL to draft third round developmental. You know, I get round six and seven, but third round.
Well, and what that tells me is they really, really liked him.
No question.
You know, and not only that, the thing that jumped out to me, they put a lot of stock in how these guys do at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, the Senior Bowl.
There was 14 first round picks at the Senior Bowl, and everybody I talked to said Quinyon Mitchell was the best player in the game. Like, he was the best player down there all week. So any concern about, oh, he went to Toledo, he totally – any receiver from LSU, Michigan, wherever, he killed them all at the Senior Bowl. So he eliminated that. And then Jalix Hunt, you know, people thought he might get overwhelmed down there, and that was not – he probably went from being a fifth or sixth round pick at the Senior Bowl – so by the end of the week, he was a third-round pick because he showed he could do it. He showed he could hang, and he showed he's not that far away.
Hey, Ross, awesome draft coverage these last bunch of weeks, my man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been so fun. Thank you guys so much for having me, and preseason games will be here before you know it.
You know it. The Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and Ross, of course, brought to us as an Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Download the free BetQL app. Do it right now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertips. You know, Howie Roseman, John, had given a pretty descriptive answer, more than he usually gives, pretty descriptive answer on his thinking of why to draft Jalix Hunt, which is probably the pick that's come most into question, meaning, you know, developmental in third round. What are you thinking? Here's what Howie said the other day.
What gives you guys the confidence that he can become an NFL caliber edge rusher?
Yeah, I mean, he's got freaky tools in his body. You know, he's an explosive guy. I mean, if you watch his best plays, he's doing things that are unique. He can bend, he can close, he can finish. He's long. He's an extremely smart kid, obviously, coming from Cornell. You know, and we feel like we got in a good edge rush group. You know, he doesn't have to come in here and you know, we're going to develop him like we talk about. This is a perfect developmental guy for us because of the tools in his body and his character and his work ethic, and we think we can really find something with him. But that's on us. That's on how he's going to work. And, you know, you can say, you know, well, that's the third round, and you're a good team. Why are you doing that? Because these guys are hard to find.
All right. So he's talking about freak athletes, hard to find. And, again, for what it's worth, make of it pro or negative what you want, Mel Kiper called him. This is right from Mel's write-up after the draft. Quote, getting my favorite outside linebacker in this class.
Well, it is really strange. Like, you look at the highlights of this guy, and the games themselves look different because the quality of the tape is worse. But you see him out there, like, pick off a pass in space in the flat, and it looks completely different than anything you're accustomed to because this guy who once played safety has outgrown the position, and he's out there looking all 6'5", 255, picking off of a pass in the flat, returning it for a touchdown.
But he's playing against Seltzer and May.
Yeah.
You know, he's not playing against John Ritchie.
So it's like, But when you put that Senior Bowl tape on, and you see him going one-on-one against the best offensive lineman in the country, this guy who once played DB, because it's all fresh in his mind, the hand usage. All right, we got to be strong with the slap and the rip and everything else. He dominates with those hands. He's got big, strong, heavy hands that are just the most beautiful thing in the world if you're a pass rush coach.
Well, look, we'll see.
For what it's worth, too, Jeremiah Adams is a 64th prospect overall as well. So that's like they got him at 80-something or whatever, so 90-something. So
that's something.